This podcast is brought to you by KVH Industries, which creates and delivers the innovations that enable our mobile world. A global leader in mobile connectivity, KVH's groundbreaking, award-winning solutions enable people on leisure boats, yachts, and commercial vessels to stay connected to business, family, and friends using innovative hybrid communications and content. Founded in 1982, the company is based in Middleton, Rhode Island, with research, development, and manufacturing operations in Middleton and sales, service, and engineering offices around the globe. So, Sophia, a small KVH quiz for you.
My favorite kind.
Customers with KVH antennas can enjoy cellular support in how many countries?
Off the top of my head, I'm going to say 150 plus.
Over 150, that is right. As far as 32 plus kilometers from the shore. The KVH Superyacht Group offers white glove concierge service.
If people aren't wearing white gloves, then I'm not interested in the concierge service. That's my rule in life. And I reckon that type of service is available 24/7.
24/7, every day of the year around the globe. KVH Elite, meanwhile, is KVH's premium VSAT service with dedicated bandwidth for HD quality streaming for yachts and charters.
What HD streaming would you be doing this week, Stuart?
Well, I've got to finish Succession.
It's relatively classy for you.
Yeah. And, we've been watching something called The Night Agent, which we need to conclude as well. I've got a lot of TV to catch up on. It's been busy these last few weeks.
Well, you need KVH.
Need KVH. Check them out at kvh.com, at Facebook at KVH Yachting and Boating, on Instagram at KVH Yachting, and you can also see them at KVH Yachting and Boating on LinkedIn. On with the show.
Hello everyone and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Sophia Wilson and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of superyachting is Caroline White. Caroline, it's been a while since we've been on the pod together. Delighted to be back in the cupboard with you, or recording studio as it's officially meant to be known. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. We're working on the August issue, which is our 40th anniversary issue.
No pressure, got to be a good one.
Exactly. We've got lots of lovely content in there to celebrate 40 years of Boat International, including a list of the 40 most significant super yachts from the last 40 years. Everything has to be 40 themed in this issue, if you haven't got that idea, which has been very controversial within our office. We've had very heated discussions about which boats should be on that list.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what does make the top 40 in the end.
Yeah.
Exactly. Can you reveal which have been some of the most controversial? Or is that too controversial in its own right?
Because who knows if they're going to end up on the list? This is the problem. We'll see. So it's going to be an interesting one. Hopefully it's going to spark some debate among our readers as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that one in print, not least just to see who won out on which ones should be in there.
Exactly.
But we've had a busy week, as well as obviously putting together the 40th anniversary issue. And of course, there will be lots of digital content to support that as well, which we'll talk about closer to the time. But we, of course, had Ocean Talks return in person. That was actually now last week. So it took place on World Oceans Day, conveniently, which was last Thursday. And we slightly changed the format this year to put a greater emphasis on networking. So we had 12 exhibitors and a great lineup of speakers. So we had Christina Mittermeier, who's the co-founder of Sea Legacy, and she delivered a really powerful speech about her experiences as a marine biologist, activist, and conservation photographer. And then we also had Lily Barclay, who, of course, is a founding member of the Ocean Family Foundation, who kindly support Ocean Talks and is also a co-founder of Plastic Planet, a Plastic Free. She was joined by Sean Sutherland, who's the co-founder and chief change maker of A Plastic Planet and Plastic Free. I don't think I'd actually seen Sean speak before, but she was really interesting, especially given her background kind of, you know, was in, you know, consumer products and now kind of having seen the light and trying to make a real difference. I found her really fascinating. And they were also joined by Oliver Steeds, who of course is now Oliver Steeds OBE. And he is chief executive of Necton Foundation. And I actually work quite closely with him because he's also one of the co-founders of Yachts for Science. Caroline, did you enjoy your Ocean Talks experience? What were some of your highlights?
Well, I thought Christina Mittermeier, who you just mentioned, was really inspiring. She was a kind of mixture of very infectious passion for the ocean environment, but also real pragmatism. And it was quite interesting. She said that Ocean's charities are incredibly strapped for cash. Of all the sorts of environmental charities, they do worst. And the last thing that anybody spends any money on is communication. So all these tiny charities around the world are doing all this incredible, valuable, hyper-local work, but nobody's hearing about it because they haven't got the money to kind of get the word out there. And that's not helping to inspire people to fund their work. So her foundation, Sea Legacy, is filling that gap and getting those stories out there via their incredible photography, some of which she showed during her talk.
Yeah, it's an interesting point that, isn't it? Is how do you really generate that interest in ocean conservation? And that it's unless you're out, you know, living by the coast, we're out there every day, it's very easy to ignore it, isn't it? And I think that's why, you know, something like Yachts for Science is so important, because you know, we have this community of yacht owners that are out there on the ocean every day and are really passionate about trying to impact conservation. And they need to also be a kind of mouthpiece for this sea change, excuse the pun, that does need to happen if we are going to protect our world's ocean, which also then, as we know, has such wider ranging impacts in terms of the global environment and heat and ice and everything else in between.
Absolutely.
I really like the new format. Not least because there was wine, which is obviously lovely. but no, it was held at, I should have mentioned that at the top, it's held at the North Serpentine Gallery in London. And it was a beautiful, sunny evening. And it just felt really nice to be able to have conversations, to talk to the exhibitors, to see all these amazing different products that were on display and then kind of interspersed with these really powerful talks. I thought it was a lovely mixture and kind of went home with plenty of food for thought, which I guess is the main aim of putting on events such as this. And obviously another big thank you to the Ocean Family Foundation who enable us to put on Ocean Talks every year.
Yeah.
But now that Ocean Talks is out of the way, it means that I can finally bang on about the Explorer Yacht Summit because tickets are now on sale. I'm not sure if there's a boat briefing drinking game yet for this podcast, but if you'd like to invent one, you could probably now start to bet how many times I'm going to mention the Explorer Yacht Summit between now and November the 9th, when it will return to the Yacht Club to Monaco. And yeah, as I mentioned, tickets are now on sale. So it's held in collaboration with exploreryachts.com. And we've also got our returning supporting partners, CDM, EOS and Triton. And Darman, of course, have come back as our headline sponsor. So really looking forward to putting this on again. We're still obviously in the process of finalising the programme, but I'm really excited to announce that Mike Horn has agreed to join us as keynote speaker, not least because I've been trying to track him down for a couple of years to speak at the conference. So I'm pleased that I finally managed it through. He's an ambassador now for Sunreef, so I finally managed to snag him that way. But Caroline, you actually interviewed Mike for the podcast a couple of years ago, which is why I started trying to get him at the Explore Yacht Conference.
Yeah, well, I was thinking you probably couldn't track him down because he was somewhere incredibly remote. It seems to be what he does all the time. Yeah, so Mike actually has a yacht, and you'd think as an explorer going to places like Antarctica, you'd want a really heavy steel boat that could crunch through ice. But he's got this nimble aluminium boat called Pangaea, and he likes it because it's flexible. I remember him saying that in a collision, steel rips, but his boat just changes shape, so he clearly doesn't mind a slightly dented hull. And I can almost hear the naval architects shouting into their phones at that exclamation from him. He went to the Arctic in 2020 during the pandemic, and I know that he saw some incredible stuff during that period. So I'm hoping that he's going to talk a little bit about that at the Explorer Summit.
Yeah, so I think after he did that 2020 trip, my understanding is that the yacht then went to Sunreef and underwent a bit of a refit. Okay. Got out a few of the aforementioned dents while it was there. And he's now back out as part of a kind of 4-year circumnavigation. The idea being to do a kind of stock take on where he thinks the world is in relation to global warming and how that's impacting species across the world. So yeah, I'm hoping he's going to give us an update as to what he's seen so far and what the plan is for the rest of the trip. As well as him at the conference, other topics are going to include, we've got some owners lined up who are going to talk about why they've chosen pocket explorers. We're obviously seeing this big surge in people buying, you know, we used to think of explorer yachts as kind of these big 60, 70 meter things. And obviously there are amazing yachts like that on the water, but we're also seeing this real surge in interest in sort of the 25 to 40 meter range. So we've got a couple of owners speaking about why they've chosen to have a smaller explorer vessel. And I'm also going to be hosting an interesting panel looking at how you get the best crew on board for these kind of adventures. You know, it's a very different job if you're kind of in an atoll, not seeing anyone for 6 weeks at a time, rather than kind of in Saint-Tropez serving cocktails and then clubbing when the owner's not on board. So yeah, kind of how do you get the right crew? How do you get the right dynamic? It's obviously a very intense environment. And also talking a bit about what kind of additional expertise you know. I know some yachts deliberately go and recruit crew who have medical backgrounds, for instance, so that if there are emergencies, they're properly trained. So yeah, we'll have some captains talking about their real life crew recruitment experiences as part of that. We'll obviously reveal more about the programme in coming weeks. As I said, you can expect me to regularly bang on about the Explore Yachts Conference. But yeah, tickets are now on sale. So either book your ticket or put November the 9th in your diary.
I just think it's such a good event. I went for the first time last year because I was on maternity leave the previous year. And it's just compact, packed with interesting, inspiring stuff. The most useful thing you could possibly do if you're planning an expedition or even if you just find them interesting. I just thought it was absolutely brilliant.
Well, thanks. You kind of have to say that because it's kind of my baby. But
yeah, exactly.
But thanks all the same.
It was very good.
So a long way from icebergs, we are having something of a heat wave in London at the moment. To clarify, when I say heat wave, I mean that the temperature's hit about 30 degrees and therefore, rather than all complaining about the rain, everyone British has gone to complaining about how it's too hot, which it is actually quite warm, especially in London. Unfortunately, I'm sure this is probably a sign of global warming, but it does mean that we seem to have several super yachts hanging out in London. London seems to be the new super yacht destination of choice. I think, as we know, and we've discussed before, this is partly because London's become quite a tax-friendly destination post-Brexit. But yeah, we've had quite a few exciting ones spotted. My team are very busy. Every time one comes in, they kind of head out there and take some photos and go and see it. So the most exciting one this week has been that the 19-metre expedition yacht Norn is currently anchored in front of Tower Bridge. We believe marking her official delivery from Lursen. She was launched in February this year and has since travelled across the Baltic and the North Sea, including a skirt around Sweden's Skåne country and a brief stop in the port of Helensborg on the 9th of June. Her distinctive military exterior, of course, I think means that some people are probably mistaking her for it as a naval vessel, but she's most definitely not. She's definitely a super yacht. And this was, of course, the work of Espen Wainoe, who also partnered with Lursen on the 70.7-metre Skat. Obviously, we wouldn't want to speculate, but you might imagine that they've been built for the same owner.
Yes, I would think so. London's also welcomed the 56-metre Bonetti Australia, which has arrived from Gibraltar. She's currently moored in Canary Wharf in South Dock, if you want to get your binoculars out. And it's unclear how long she's going to be staying in town for.
We also, I can't remember whether we mentioned this already in the pod, so apologies if we had, but we've also had the 110-metre Chaos, which is the former Jubilee. And she is the largest yacht to pay a visit to London in recent years. She cruised up the Thames just at the end of last month, stopping in front of Butler's Wharf and Tower Bridge. The multi-award winning yacht has a pretty stellar range of amenities on board that people were trying to get a gawp at, including an 8.5 metre pool, an aquarium, lots of custom design pieces. She was, of course, last sold in 2018 and she was one of the largest yacht sales in history.
Wow. So fresh from an Atlantic crossing that began in early May and a stop off in Portsmouth, the 54.3 metre Amel's Revelry was spotted docked in Canary Wharf. The yacht has a textbook Tim Haywood exterior and interiors by Laura Sesser as part of the Dutch Yard's limited editions 177 series. She was launched as 4U in 2012 and has changed ownership in 2021.
There you go. So that's at least four pretty exciting ones that we've had in London recently. We'll keep tracking any others that come. And there's also quite a few in Scotland at the moment. There seems to be a few yachts doing cool things up there. I guess it's the right time of year to be up there.
Nice long nights. That's a really cool cruising destination that people haven't discovered quite yet. I think that's where I would be going if I had a yacht.
Well, I remember during COVID, Emma Bamford, who very kindly did my maternity leave at the worst time ever because she couldn't do any travel. But the only travel that she did do was an amazing trip with EOS, actually, in the Hebrides. Mm. And she raved about it. So, yeah, I think it is quite cool. And I think, yeah, I guess May, June is probably peak season to be there. Peak Scottish season. Exactly. I imagine that probably means there's about three yachts up there. But yeah, maybe next week we'll take a look at which yachts have been hanging out in Scotland as well. So on to our brokerage picks for this week. And I'm afraid I've gone fairly basic in that I just looked at which yacht drove the most traffic in our brokerage section last week. And that was the 63-metre Icon Yachts Party Girl, I imagine the name might have something to do with why it did quite such good numbers. The yacht was built in steel and aluminium. She's got six decks and was designed by RWD, as well as featuring a Cristina Gatto interior. She has accommodation for up to 16 guests in 8 staterooms and additional quarters for sort of 15 to 18 crew. She also has a pretty spectacular master deck main suite, which has a private staircase up to a panoramic lounge that can also be separated into a VIP suite if you want. So she's party girl by name, party girl by nature. So she has this huge main saloon, which is 17 meters long, which sounds pretty vast to me. It's got a sort of specially designed wine cellar with glass panels created by a Venetian artist. And there is also a custom made ceiling lamp sort of chandelier, which stretches 7 meters in length. She has other really cool standout features, such as a marble slab in her main lobby, while the stairs, which run across her 4 decks, are covered in leather produced by craftsmen from Turin. She's also got a pretty impressive beach club with a gym, which is pretty big for a yacht of her size as well. She is lying in Fort Lauderdale at the moment and is asking $54.9 million with Jim McCoville of Allied Marine. So there you go. If you like a party, she's the yacht for you.
She sounds absolutely delightful, but I prefer my pick, which is the 61-metre Fedship Samadhi, which is for sale with Edmiston, largely because she's got a Remy Tessier interior, which is very pared back and curvy and cool, like all the interiors he does. Basically, I like it when furniture on board looks like it's melting. She underwent an extensive refit that was completed in 2023, and she sleeps 12 guests across 6 cabins. The main deck owner suite has an office, a walk-in wardrobe, and marble bathroom with a sauna, bathtub, and a shower. She sleeps 17 crew, so guests will be very well taken care of. There's a sun deck sports bar with a barbecue, a jacuzzi, and translucent awnings that provide shade while also keeping the space bright. She has a very decent range of 5,000 nautical miles with space to store a 2022 Vanquish V45 chase boat and 2 Pasco tenders, all of which are included in the asking price, which is a very reasonable 42.5 million euros.
I'd never appreciated the melting furniture before.
It's brilliant. There's also, Palladium. Do you remember Palladium?
Yeah.
Big, beautiful yacht. She's got furniture that looks like it's kind of growing out of the floor. So melting into the floor, growing out of the floor. Either way, I'm happy.
Either way you're in.
Yeah.
Imagine also, I mean, I'm exceptionally clumsy. So I think anything where there's curved surfaces is probably a good idea. Particularly if you're moving at sea.
Totally. Yeah. Very sensible.
So yeah, I'm going to look out for it more in the future.
Yeah.
So on to this week's news. Caroline, do you want to kick off with the first story?
Certainly. So the Italian shipyard Rossi Navi has launched its first ever explorer yacht from its Pisa shipyard named Aquila. The 59.4-metre yacht was rolled out of the shed sporting a scarlet hull from the drawing boards of Gian Paolo Nari. Apologies to Mr. Nari if I butchered his name there. The ice-class vessel is designed with a global expedition in mind and fitted with diesel-electric propulsion for optimised fuel consumption and low impact on the environment during long periods at sea. Interior design is by Ancona-based FM Architectura, and the yacht's layout is optimised to support marine research activities and philanthropic projects. She will be able to store a pair of custom-built 9-metre tenders, various diving equipment, and 2 6-metre containers that can act as transportable science labs. The launch comes shortly after the splash of No Stress and Alchemy. The yard also has a 43-metre catamaran called Sea Cat under construction.
Yeah, she's pretty cool, this yacht. She's dividing opinion in the office in terms of her lines, but I love that she's set up for research while she's cruising.
Absolutely.
Next up, we have some news from Oceanco, which is that the 111-metre project, known only as Y722, has been seen for the first time since she emerged from the construction shed at the shipyard. The new build is the largest yacht currently under construction at Oceanco and is set to be the third largest vessel in the shipyard's fleet by length, following, obviously, 127-metre Coru and 117-metre Infinity. Project Y722 is expected to be around the 5,000 GT mark, which will probably make her the largest yacht by volume built by Ocean Cove, but we're waiting for confirmation on that. Naval architecture is by Lateral Naval Architects, and the projects will have interiors by Mark Berryman, whose portfolio also includes the 136-metre Lursen Flying Fox. Delivery is slated not until spring 2025, so we're hoping some more details might leak out between now and then. We'll keep an eye on it.
The Italian shipyard Bonetti has signed the contract for a 72-metre B-Now model with the yard's trademarked Oasis deck. With delivery slated for 2027, the project will become the largest semi-custom model in the Bonetti fleet and the flagship of the yard's B-Now series. The steel and aluminium yacht has been designed by British studio RWD with a focus on owner spaces and multi-use areas. Features will include a flowing layout and extended windows that elongate the appearance of the yacht's exterior, along with a private owner's deck that promises uncompromising views over the bow, two en-suites and a lounge with a private bar. The remaining seven cabins are found on the main deck, including a VIP cabin that stretches across the 12.5-metre beam in the forward part of the yacht. The Oasis deck features a signature infinity pool, and the surrounding area aims to incorporate a variety of design elements that allow it to be enjoyed by day or night. As well as the Oasis deck, the owner and guests can also enjoy a large sun deck with a spa pool and sun pads. Once delivered, she'll be the sixth largest yacht in the Bonetti fleet.
Yeah, congratulations to Bonetti. Really exciting to have that one and build. It seems like those Italian yards are just, all of them seem to be flying at the moment.
Yeah, pumping them out. And now for some data. There's a lot of chat about sailing making resurgence in the superyacht sphere, not least because Jeff Bezos' massive sailing yacht Karoo is making headlines practically every day. Aside from the romance and fun of sailing, it has a built-in eco advantage. So as everyone looks around for ways to make yachts more sustainable, sticking a sail on top looks like a pretty good solution. But according to our leading data platform, BoatPro, the data doesn't quite back this up yet. The actual output of new build sailing yachts has slowed over the past 5 years, with 25 new deliveries in 2018 compared to 17 in 2022. The closure of specialist sailing yacht builders such as Fitzroy and Alloy may have contributed to the slowdown, but our annual global order book, which comes out in our January issue, suggests there's a brighter future for sailing on the horizon, with a 20-unit increase in the number of sailing yacht projects under development between 2019 and 2022. So that's a promising sign for the industry.
Yeah, it'd be really interesting to see whether we do, as you say, there's a lot of chat at the moment about how naturally people, and particularly this new generation of owners coming in, and naturally be attracted more to sailing yachts. So it'd be interesting to see whether that does start to pick up.
Absolutely. And I think as they become more technically advanced, they're going to become easier to handle and therefore more attractive to people who are perhaps less confident with a traditional sailing yacht.
Yeah, I have to say, I think we've spoken about this before on the podcast, and I know it was meant to be a panel at one of our events. I'm not sure whether it ever came about, but sometimes the sailing yacht industry can seem slightly intimidating. There's a lot of lexicon, a lot of language.
Yeah, it's a lot of language. Yeah.
You know, I'm lucky that in the team I've got a couple of real there. Holly, in particular, our online editor, is a real sailing yacht fanatic.
Yeah.
But I have to ask her questions all the time. Or Marilyn. That's those are my sailing yacht resources. So yeah, they've got some work to overcome on the marketing side as well, I think, to make it seem more accessible. But it'll be interesting to see where the numbers do start to increase. So I think that's it for this week. Short but sweet. Stuart is in Bermuda playing golf because that's his job. So he's out there with the Bermuda Tourism Authority because we're hosting the group of captains to showcase what Bermuda has to offer, and particularly what its golf courses have to offer. So such a shame Stuart had to go out as well.
Tough life.
But I'm sure he'll be back next week to tell us all about his woes.
Yeah.
Being in Bermuda playing golf.
Yeah.
And until then, thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Caroline, for joining.
You're welcome.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. And thank you to Naomi Wilson for editing and producing this week's podcast.